Yo. Can you hear me? You listening to
Hashtag W-A-W. What a week.
Yeah, yo. What a week. Week.
We're back. Yes, we were back last week and the week before. I know. We almost sound like a national utility celebrating that it hasn't broken down in a month. But before we jinx anything, let's get going. Welcome to another edition of Wow, What a Week. Our first guest. Since I started this venture, many people have been asking me for tips about podcasting. So I thought it would be a good move to speak to the guy I went to when getting into this rodeo. Our guest, old enough to be familiar with a cassette, is quite warm to approach, so he's far from being stone cold. He'd never give you the eye, and spending time around him might see you getting amped. All right, enough puns and sucking up. Please give a warm welcome to musician, presenter, instructor, and disruptor, and definitely a mover and a shaker, John Savage. Our John Savage, not the other John Savage.
Rad intro.
In fact, who is the...
The actual one.
Who is the... No, not the actual one. Who's the other John Savage?
He's the most famous music journalist of all time. He was the last guy to interview Kurt Cobain and many others. He wrote the guide on punk music globally. He wrote for Rolling Stone. So if you Google me, say hi to John Savage, because I'm not there.
John Savage 101, who on earth are you?
Who am I?
Yes, like who are you? What do you do? Like what are you about?
I think I'm a tricky character.
Yes.
Because, you know, this term that has become kind of popular, disruptor. You know, before they used that word disruptor, they would just say annoying.
Oh, yes.
So in any industry, I'd really like to play and figure out how the thing works, break stuff.
Sure.
But really, my passions are very simple, music and content. So sure. Filmmaking, TV, bands, and podcasting.
In fact, though, when I met you, you were directing a TV show I was presenting.
Our House.
For Urban Brew. I think it was 2003, 2004. Wow. And we were going around the country doing facelifts on SOS Children's Villages. And you were the director.
I was, but I was way out of my depth. And it was a really tough job. I remember it very clearly because the creative director on that was serious guy.
Yes.
And I think it was my first big TV show. And I wanted cranes and I wanted all the toys. And I made a list of all the things I wanted and they came. And I didn't know how to use any of them. And this guy was, the day three, they all went. He was so cross with me. You mean your first links, if you remember, was like a crane, but the next day was on a tripod. I learned a lot.
You wanted to go Spielberg.
Yeah, I just wanted, I had tracks and dollies, B units.
And then the next time I experienced you were singing. You were part of a band, Cassette.
Yes.
Yeah, quickly tell us about that cassette era.
I was into film. I was wanting to make films. Yeah. And my band just sort of blew up. And I thought, well, this is an adventure. And for 6 years, we traveled the world as a rock band, which was wild.
And you did it the old-fashioned way, in a van.
Proper. We actually bought a van. Yeah. We named it Miles.
Yeah.
We lost it. It's somewhere in the UK to this day. We left it in somebody's garage, the last tour we had, and we never went to pick it up.
Oh, wow. But so Miles is...
Miles is somewhere. It was a little Fiat Ulysses, and that thing has done a lot of miles, a lot.
Lessons from Cassette, though, just in terms of we've started a rock band, and we decided that, okay, we're going to kind of pack our bags and tour Europe in a little van. Like, that's like Scooby-Doo shit.
Yeah, it was wild. There were lessons. So I think two big ones.
Yeah.
The weird thing that South Africans have with bands who go overseas.
Yeah.
Like, we came back. The first gig we did as Cassette, we played crappy little pubs to 12 people.
Yes.
And when we came back, we were national celebrities.
Yes.
But we were the band who had toured the world.
Yes.
Nobody knew how rough it had been, but they all... our profile was through the roof after that. That was the first thing. But the really big lesson, I think, that totally changed the trajectory of all the work is that I think one of the unfortunate things about our amazing country is the geographical location. We're not exposed to the best of the best often.
Mm.
So often I don't want to say we settle on mediocrity, but we're not inspired by people who are doing the top stuff. So when we left to go on this tour as a band, we were like working really hard and rehearsing 6 days a week, and we were a good band. But when we got into that pool, we were like, oh, you have to work 10 times harder.
Even harder.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I almost feel like the pool within which you operate, the bar has not been set to such a stratospheric height that we all operate within such mediocrity that we've all gotten used to.
Right.
That we celebrate it.
Well, you can't, if you can't see, if you can only look through the window and not really see what's there, but once you actually go and experience what's through on the other side, you are a changed person.
Sure.
A
friend of mine does film and TV, and he was telling me about how in Hollywood, the levels at which we have the talent.
Yes.
You can't take that away
talent,
from us.
Talent, we've got the best in the world.
But the levels at which they operate in terms of we get things right the first time, and we do things at a standard that no one else can match. He's like, in a week, he learned so much in Hollywood.
That's right.
Just from looking at the work ethic, just from looking at, they hold you to such a high standard, you understand why someone will get paid $10 million
right
for a movie, because they're good for it.
Yeah, if you just focus on what they're doing in the work ethic part and bring that home. The one thing we have, though, that I think is unique and it makes South Africans excel everywhere, is that you learn very quickly that it's much easier to do anything everywhere else.
Yes.
Everything works.
Yes.
But here you have to build it yourself.
Our resilience.
And so we are like masterful hustlers to build. Yes. Where there's no infrastructure, we'll make it.
We make a plan.
Yeah.
We make a plan. And I think that about us is what often sets us apart when we break into the international
scene. That's right, because we don't take anything for granted.
Absolutely. Anyway, so let's fast forward to AMP Studios. And then you set up AMP Studios. Why did you do that?
AMP was a long, painful journey.
Yeah.
And it's a story I've never told, and it's an hour-long story, so I won't tell you now. But
tell us in a minute.
It's impossible. Impossible. It could be a movie. It was wild, right? But the idea was, again, kind of largely inspired by being in cassette and in content and in film, that we don't have any infrastructure. We've got no support. Everyone works in silos.
Sure.
Are not even good at collaborating. Everyone's doing their own thing. I don't want to say it's like an egotistical environment. Everyone's into what they're doing.
And it's almost like we're competing versus how do we collaborate to get a bigger harvest?
And we don't. Everyone thinks it's just enough for themselves. Yes. And so we eat ourselves often.
Absolutely.
And really out of the frustration, we built AMP'd to try and be a center for the things people really need: access to information, big time.
Sure.
Access to connections, having you in the space that they can meet you, for example.
Sure.
And access to the world's best equipment. There's not average stuff here.
Mm.
You know, we've got the top mixing console in the world. We've got the best cameras. So, like, you get world-class equipment.
Yeah.
It's community, so people are building each other. And I wanted to try and do it in a way that wasn't like an NGO.
Sure.
Because the real pain point is access to money. So the purpose of AMP is to help people build their own businesses or get access to business. So the ethic here is all about business, business, business.
But what is the business model for you, though?
For us?
Yes.
So,
For instance, a young kid wants to start a podcast, needs a space for a podcast.
Yes.
What's the catch? Do I just walk in? Do I get the space?
So, yes, essentially, yes. We have really amazing brand partners. So MTN is one of our big partners.
Sure.
And inside AMP'd, it's all about community building, but there are special privileges if you are an MTN subscriber or a Call of Tune subscriber. So if you are just wanting to start a podcast, you can come here. There's a podcast room for you. Mm. There's people you can meet. You can just book it. It costs nothing. But some of the more higher-end gear like Podroom A that has like AI cameras and stuff, or the more upgraded stuff, you need to be an MTN user, which costs a SIM card.
Sure.
And outside of that, everything is free. And it's going to be that way, I think, forever. That's the plan.
That is so dope.
Hopefully.
Africa Podcast Network. What inspired that?
Africa Podcast Network. So, like you, just loved radio, but more of a fan. I don't think I was a particularly great DJ, but I was a big fan
of radio.
You did
a kick-ass show, though, when you did Power Nights of Rock.
I appreciate it, but I think I approached it as a fan that was really lucky to be on radio.
And I think because you were not tainted by radio habits, that's what made your show, for me, as palatable as it was.
Hmm.
Because it was a radio fan doing a radio show versus a radio professional who might avoid certain things because that is so unradio. But often,
thanks for telling me I'm unprofessional.
So often we do our best work through being naive.
I buy that 100%.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's why your radio show for me kicked ass.
Well, that means a lot to me. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Anyway, carry on. You were saying.
Got fired. Don't know if you know anything about that.
No, I don't.
Any experience there? But really, just fell in. I mean, I started my first podcast in 2009. Just obsessed with podcasts for the longest time.
Yeah.
Tried to launch a podcast network in 2014.
Yeah.
Didn't work for some reason. But really, Billy, you know, the space that my business is and the work that I'm doing is about serving content creators. So in music, in YouTube, in podcasting, working with content creators, the biggest pain point for content creators is monetization. So I've been helping content creators find brand partners for the longest time.
Yes, sir.
And I started working with Mac G.
Yeah.
And got him his first brand partners and worked with him for a long time building. It was while he was becoming the monster that he is today.
Sure.
Monster in a positive term. I mean,
yes,
it's like
yes.
podcasting giant.
The beast.
The beast.
Yeah.
And
but not in the Satan way, though. Like beast, there's an R.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make that clear. and learned a lot on the road and started doing that with a few other podcasters.
Yes,
and
sir.
Soon we realized this was a pain point for a lot of podcasters.
Mm.
But we identified very quickly that we're, the big insight for the Africa Podcast Network is it's a lot of time and effort for a podcaster to find brands. It's like you need a team of people.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The first thing.
Yeah.
Second of all, it takes a long time.
Mm.
And third of all, brands struggle a little bit with podcasters because they're not big. They like big. They like radio. They like
yes,
TV.
Yes.
So we realized that if we just put together a network of the biggest podcasters, that our network alone is bigger than most radio stations in terms of its reach.
Yes.
And so that inspired the Africa Podcast Network. And the really cool thing about it, not that you've asked me that yet.
Yes.
Also learning from Mac, you know, we were approached by these big networks all over the world, but they were all operating like a sort of conglomerate. They wanted to own the podcaster.
Yes.
They wanted to own the content, and we never wanted to do that.
Sure.
So when we started APN, we were like, let's start a network that, in the spirit of AMPT, like creates community. There's no ownership for us. Everyone owns their own stuff. All we're going to do is be the vehicle for monetization.
Oh, yes. What's been the biggest misconception, especially to clients you're trying to convince that podcasting is not necessarily the way to go, but is one of the other avenues you can look at?
So I think the opportunity is so wild when we see the analytics and the work that we are doing. On the brand side, there's hesitation for obvious reasons.
Sure.
The obvious reasons are it's a new environment.
Mm.
I mean, the numbers are undeniable.
Sure.
And the other cool thing about it is that there's no wastage in podcasting. And wastage is if you take an ad out on radio and they tell you there's a million people listen to your ad, there's no verification of those million people. It's generalized.
It's what it is, a broadcast.
It's a broadcast.
That some will stick.
They don't know if someone's turned you, you know, in the toilet at doing your, but in the podcasting space, if you skip the ad, it doesn't count. So we actually,
The numbers are real.
If you get a million, it's a million people who heard your ad, right?
Sure.
So there's an educational thing that brands see the opportunity, but they also don't know how to engage.
Sure.
Because historically, approaching a podcast is quite hard. You've got to find DJ Fresh's Twitter account. You've got to DM him.
Yeah.
He's got to come back to you, and then you've got to negotiate a rate for a for a campaign. So we've tried to make all of that easy. That was the long way around to say, I think just understanding how to approach the environment is the biggest thing, that it's actually really easy and super affordable.
Now, obviously, a lot of podcasters, like there's everyone is podcasting.
Yes.
In fact, the only people not podcasting are the dead, but but I'm sure they're trying.
I've seen some.
Exactly. But outside of a Mac G, who, and even you've said it before, that everyone wants to be the next Mac G. They forget that Mac G's journey is different from any other journey you'll ever see.
He's Michael Jackson. Be careful with all these analogies, right?
I think to put it simpler, the MACG story is an anomaly.
It's an anomaly. You can't repeat that kind of success.
It's not repeatable.
Yeah.
It's not repeatable. But what do you say to the kid who wants to podcast? What are the do's, the don'ts?
Great question. So I think the thing you learn from MACG that and looking at all the trends of the podcasts that do really well, Mac did what was natural to him. He didn't look at the thing and say, I'm going to do celebrity interviews because that's going to build me.
Sure.
He is actually, if you see one of his episodes or even have a lunch with the guy, he's obsessed with understanding people.
Sure.
He is born to interview people. That's his passion. And if nobody listened to his podcast, he'd still be doing that.
Exactly.
And so that is his passion.
Mm.
The podcasts that do really well are not the ones where someone says, this would be a great idea for a podcast.
Yes.
But the ones where I've just got this crazy thing that only I really love.
I'm doing my thing. They will find me.
And those things do really, really well. And globally, some of the biggest podcasts are weird. They're just weird and about weird stuff, but huge audiences.
Absolutely. How do I start?
The starting of the podcast is easy. It couldn't be easier. You just start. I think a lot of people get stuck with hesitation. Like,
sure.
Your first episode is going to be crap. It's fine. It needs to be, right? Yeah. You just start by picking up your phone and talking into it and putting it onto the internet. That's it. And you will learn as you go. It's a snowball.
Mm.
It takes time. It's long and slow and hard.
How important is consistency?
It's everything.
Yeah.
So because we're dealing with technology and algorithms, they punish you for, you know, what is YouTube and Spotify and Apple, what are they trying to do? They're trying to maximize for themselves listenership.
Yes.
So the algorithm is looking for content that is regular, that is consistent, that people are engaging with, and then they reward that and they push that. And as soon as you start, even if you miss a week or miss an episode, the frequency doesn't matter. Once a month, once a year, once a week,
but
once a day.
Consistent, though.
But if you don't get consistent, it hampers your ability to grow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What podcasts are you listening to currently?
Whew, so many, right? currently, I'm listening to one called How Did This Get Made?
Okay.
It's an American comedian podcast where they take the worst movies of all time and they tear them to shreds, and it's hysterical.
I could watch that.
Yeah, again, that's super niche.
Yeah,
it's very bizarre, and it makes me go to watch these terrible movies.
Yeah,
that's a really cool one. Yeah,
okay. South African podcast that you are obsessed with?
I really love Mpumile Dwaba.
Yeah,
his podcast, just because I think I'm just learning. I think Mpumi is sort of a new version of MACG, who's doing something so herself.
Yes.
And even though I'm not the target audience, I find it really listenable.
It's compelling. It's compelling.
It's compelling, and it's really good. There's this thing called Wow What a Week that is just part of the roundup. It's pretty good. You should check it out.
And I think as a podcaster or as an entertainer, the minute you can get people that don't know who the hell you are interested in what you have to say, then you've found the sweet spot.
Yeah, I think one of the misconceptions that works in social media and not podcasting is that if I get on this really big celebrity, they're going to bring me views.
Absolutely.
It doesn't really work.
It doesn't translate.
It works in small pockets.
It's not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed, and it has no long-term impact.
Sure.
They'll listen to this episode. So what you are talking about, who you are, and how you're presenting, that is everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So be as you as you can possibly be to get to where you need
That's it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So how you are you in your podcast?
And that's quite hard because it's vulnerable. You've got to be vulnerable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Savage, thank you for hanging out with us.
I'm so honored. I love you, Fresh. And thanks for having me.
I'd like to actually invite you to maybe do like the Savage Podcast Minute on this podcast every week.
I'm so game.
So we're confirming it.
Podcasting, tech, and AI. Those are the things I'm obsessed about.
Okay.
I could definitely do something in that space.
In a minute.
Yeah, I can do a minute.
Are we doing a literal minute or it'll be 1 to 3 minutes?
So let's speak podcasting because we're in the podcasting environment. Let's test it and see how it goes.
Okay. The John Savage Podcast Minute starting next week with John Savage.
Yay.
My friend, thank you very much.
Thank you very, very.
I've had nothing but respect and love for you. I've known you for 20 years.
Ow. Bro. That's long.
I've known you longer than most marriages last.
Well, our house, eh? Those little kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Savage is about to leave the building. He'll be back next week and the week after that, but for a minute.
This is...
Wow!
What a week. What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Welcome back to Wow, What a Week. An established South African poet once said, I'm Mike, what I like. Adapting that, we can say that our next guest, Tease, what he please is. All right, those maybe not so hip-hop. Further proof that I won't ever be much of a rapper. That's why up next we have someone far more capable in constructing verses and rhymes. Please give a wow welcome to... I want to say we're homeboys because when I moved to Jersey, I stayed in Berea.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, MT is the building. My dude, how are you doing?
Blessed, highly favored.
My dude, you're looking good.
Thank you.
Not that you look too, bad at any stage, but you're looking dog.
Thank you, appreciate it. I try.
How are you feeling this morning? So the first thing you opened your eyes this morning, what's the first thing you thought about? What's the first thing you did?
I thought about my kids.
Yeah.
Opened my eyes, there they were. And yeah, I was just blessed.
Sure.
And yeah.
How's co-parenting going? How are you coping with co-parenting?
And I wouldn't say it's co-parenting.
Yeah.
Me and tomorrow my kids, you know, I'm working on myself.
Sure.
You know, I'm trying to better myself really. You know, we've been through a rough patch, me and her. But
you guys are not living together though, right?
We are, actually.
Oh, are you? Oh, all right.
Yeah. All right. We are. And, man, it's been a roller coaster ride. But, yeah, I'm just glad to be back in that mode, seeing my kids every day again, yeah.
Do you think you guys will remarry at any stage? Or is it one day at a time?
For now, let's just say, you know, one step at a time. Yeah.
What are you doing
positive?
What are you doing differently? And then what are you guys doing differently in this new chapter?
I think for me, I think I'm saying less and doing more.
I was going to say, generally in marriage, the less we say is much cheaper, the better.
Yeah.
Sometimes just keep quiet and say, yes, baby. You're right, baby.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful for every little, you know, hurdle or experience that I've went through. Yeah, I'm grateful.
When you do love a second time around, how do you avoid digging up old shit? Because it's sometimes inevitable that when you are upset or angry, you might bring something up that was a problem back then. How do you deal with avoiding digging up old shit?
Yeah, that's tough. But for me, I'd say I've grown to become more of a listener.
Sure.
I've also grown to value other people's opinions, you know, negative or positive, green or blue, you know, I'm also at a stage or age in my life where people's perception of me doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
it's that problem, not yours.
Yeah. You know, and me knowing myself, how I came up, you know, my background, very humble beginnings.
Sure.
You know, and so that alone, you know, just always brings me back down to earth, you know. My life growing up as a kid, you know, I never really had a glamorous life, you know. I grew up in Berea. I lived there all my life, you know, and...
So what year were you growing up in Berea? Which years?
Okay, this is like late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm a 90s baby.
Sure.
proudly 92.
Yeah, I think you are as old as my radio career. I started radio 3 months before you were born.
Well, that's gene. I respect it.
Yeah, and then I moved into Berea December 94 is when I moved into Berea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm sure as I was walking the streets of Berea, I heard a baby crying. It was probably you.
Yeah.
So we probably met, dog.
Most deaf. You know, that's how the city is. You know. That's what I love about the city.
Sure. How would you say growing up in the inner city, especially at a stage where it was starting to decay, how would you say that prepared you for the rap life, for all the stuff you've been through, the stuff you've had to deal with?
Well, you know, in our environment growing up,
yeah,
I'm not proud to say this, but I grew up in a drug era.
Sure.
It was never cool. Mm-hmm. Drugs were never cool, but we were so accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were on our way to school, you know, we just taught to, hey, look away.
Yes.
Or just walk past, don't pay attention to
Berea, especially Berea. Yeah.
Yes, sir. You're right. And I was fortunate to watch Berea crumble.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but that alone, watching Berea become what it is today, I still drive past it.
Sure.
You know, for what they call it. People might not see me, but I'm in the mix. I'm driving, going past my old high school, my old primary school.
Yeah.
But you just won't see me because I move different.
But do you know why I do that, though? One of the reasons I still go to North Taxi Rank, one of the reasons why I will still drive through Hillbro, one of the reasons I will still drive through Berea, is to remind me where I was at some stage.
Yes.
And to remind myself why I don't want to come back here.
Yes.
And why I must move the way I move, or even move better.
Yes, you're right.
Because 100%. I've been in these places.
Yes.
And I don't want to live here again. I don't want to live like that again.
Yes, 100%. Bullseye right there.
Yeah.
Just, you know, as I said, you know, my parents, they tried their best to steer me away from that lifestyle.
Sure.
And I salute them for that, and I thank them for that. And today I'm realizing why, you know, they made all the efforts to try their best to, you know, keep me busy.
Mm.
I was growing up, I played a lot of basketball, soccer. So I was a busy kid. Mm. I was always busy. I always believed in being busy.
Sure.
You know, and with that, so many opportunities, you know, can come your way, you know, just off of you being super busy. And yeah, onto the your question about the relationship and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I can say, you know, I've accepted my circumstances for what they are, and accepted everything for what it is, good or bad.
Sure.
And as I say, you know, growing up in the city, you know, we're not special, but we're tough.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
We're strong.
Different breed of kid.
Yeah.
Grows up under those circumstances and
survives. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. You're 100% right. And especially in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
That's the Kwaito era.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't know this. My first love was Kwaito.
Sure. Yeah, you're a former Kwaito artist wannabe.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm exactly that.
Yeah.
I used to watch a lot of Kwaito stars just walking the streets.
Yeah.
You know, walking into their houses or walking out of a car or something, you know. And I'd be like, just a few blocks down the road, there's a trap house there and people are going in and out.
Yes.
Everybody knows what's happening there, but nobody ever snitches.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm just grateful to be part of that era, you know, to learn from past, I can say, stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to learn. I always say this, if anything, a lot of people teach me is what not to do.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a lot of the times, a lot of people might think, hey, this is my youngin, I'm teaching him. And then, I'm like 10 steps ahead of even like my age. Because I hung out with...
I was going to say, I mean, your career started when you were still a teenager.
Yeah.
What do you wish you had been warned about as you started your career at a young age?
Hey, man, these contracts...
Don't just sign.
Yeah, these contracts. Man. And just to have someone who would, you know, explain it to me better.
Yeah.
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 Because, hey, for real, you can't read all them words for real.
Tell us about the first contract you signed and what you realized later was an oh shit moment about that contract.
Hey, I won't remember what contract I signed first, but there were a lot.
Yeah.
But mostly were like management, PR, and you know, it was everything I needed really at that time.
Sure.
And so it just made sense at that time to move at that pace. And right now, I don't have to rush to make a record or, you know, to try to prove myself or anything.
Sir.
I just now have to show my growth within my craft.
Yeah. And you have a brand new single, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Good Time.
Yeah, tell us about that quickly.
Brand new single. It's called Good Time.
Yeah.
I advise everybody to go out there and get it. It's taken off my upcoming project called DIY 3.
Okay.
Do It Yourself. The third, it's gonna be we you know, as a culture,
yes, sir,
as a people, as a nation, we've been through so much, and I feel like for us to, you know, a wise man once said, you know, you never really heal from trauma,
sure,
but as a nation, as a people, as a culture, we've experienced so much trauma. And so many kids who look at us and be like, I wanna be like that.
Sure.
But then the downside of it all, you know, a lot of people can't stomach it.
Yeah.
You know. So me growing up where I'm from, you know, just being tough and being strong is our main priority. You know, that's what we put first.
In fact, speaking of DIY 3, it was supposed to drop last year, right?
Yes, sir.
And you said it hasn't come out because of politics.
Yeah.
What politics are these?
Well, at the time I was trying to get myself a distribution.
Yes.
And I ended up finding that, you know, in the long run, this is a year later or 2 years later. You know, from me saying that.
So I think
I just felt like somebody was blocking my blessings at the time, you know. But it's only a feeling for real.
Sure.
And I can't really point fingers and say, hey, you know, I'm not a fortune teller or not.
Sure.
You know, so, yeah.
Can you give us maybe a young 16 from Good Time?
From Good Time?
Yeah.
I just want to chill and relax. I got 20,000 in the sea of any pack. I don't give a where you been. I'm back. Whoever thought that I'd be rich because I rap. They don't believe me when I say I lived in a shack. Now I'm in the hills counting cash. They don't believe me when I say I lived in a trap. Now I'm, something like that.
Yeah.
But, it's really a dope song, and it's just a straightforward song that people can catch on to.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You told El Tito.
Yeah.
That at the time we lost SK, you couldn't even afford to travel to go see him in hospital.
Yeah.
How bad were things at that stage for you?
Yo, things were bad, man. So bad that...
So where were you living at that stage?
I was living here in Jersey right now. And just by Carlton Center.
Yes, sir.
So I lived with... It was me, Ruff, Java, Ranks, Just G...
Sure.
Saudi. There's a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
It's like seven or eight of us.
Jeez. Yeah. What year is this?
This is 2013,
yeah.
14.
Sure.
Yeah, when things are starting, we're starting to...
There's movement.
There is movement.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
Personally and financially... Yeah, man, it was super bad.
What gave you guys hope, though, and kept you hanging in there, that this shit is temporary?
The crazy thing is, we used to always, like, have these talks.
Yeah.
Like, almost every day.
Sure.
And at the time, we were moving by faith. Mm. We were moving by faith and belief in our craft.
Sure.
And I believed I was surrounded by good people at the time. Mm. The likes of Ralph, Java, you know, I consider those my big brothers, you know.
Sure.
And at that time, things were so bad that, you know, I would wait for news from somebody else to hear how SK was doing.
Mm.
You know? So, yeah, it was bad, super bad. And I couldn't complain or whatnot. I still don't. I never do.
Sure.
Yeah, because of that time in my life. Yeah. Things were bad even before that, but
yeah.
they just got super bad. Like,
what did you guys eat at the time? How often did you eat? Because when things are bad, things are bad.
Yeah. We had one meal a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was lunchtime. We would put coins together, whatever we had, because Ralph had a studio.
Sure.
And the studio was like a functioning business.
Yes.
Different musicians came in that studio, which are one of the things that motivated me.
Sure.
You know, if I could add, I would see people like El Tito himself come into that studio.
Yeah.
Mugs.
Sure.
Banks, the likes of Tandiswa Mazwai.
Little did they know that they are your meal for the day.
Hey, you can say that again, big dog. Hey, and so, yeah, that was our way of eating, really. If Ralph got paid, and, you know, at the back of my mind, I kind of knew that, okay, there's a plate secured.
No.
Yeah.
So where's your family at this stage in your life where things are rough? And what's stopping you from saying, F it, I'm going home?
Well, you know, I grew up in Perry. I went to Bernardo Park High School.
Yeah.
I went to Yovo Community School, primary school. And... You know, as you can hear, the community is the same.
Sure.
Yovo, Pelia, Hebrew. Oh, that line is we are on. You know, and growing up there, man, like, as I said, I always say this, man, like, I always look at my real life personally and always be grateful. Like, I made it past this.
Sure.
You know, I can make it past anything.
Yes, sir.
For real. And that's kept me going till this day, you know. I've lost so many partners. I've lost so many peers and people who were so close to me, I thought, you know, and I always used to say this with my best friend, R.I.P. Lev. He was like my assistant, he was like my guy. Like if you wanted to know about my schedule, he's the guy you'd ask.
Sure.
If you wanted to know what I'm doing this weekend, hit me. And you know, now that it's gone, you know, I think it's looking back now, when I look, you know, 2-3 years down or 3 years back, life was so different, man. One of the things that kept me going was my best friend, Lev. You know, and he was so hands-on, man. God bless that man. You know, he was so hands-on with my career. Like, I always used to be immune. Like, you don't have to do all this, you know. I was like, And the crazy thing is I've known Lebo since we were kids.
Sure.
We both grew up in the same neighborhood, went to the same high school, different primary schools, though, but we always knew each other growing up.
Sure.
And then into high school, I was like, hey, look, this is what I'm doing, and this is how I want you to help me. Just be around, you know, help me with the nitty-gritties, all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
And he was game, I remember when we dropped Roll Up and it was doing its rounds.
Yo, and then it blew up. Yo.
Yo. I was like, I even told him, I was like, yo, because he had a job at that time. I was like, yo, you know what? Quit your job and tell it.
Things are changing.
Yeah. You know, and we hadn't gotten into like big monies yet, but because I had so much faith and stuff like that, he knew, Lebo knew this. I was like, come on, man, quit that job. Come live with me. Let's carry on pushing, you know?
Sure.
And that's exactly what we did. And so his presence, man, made a huge difference in my life. And now that he's no more, I can see now that, okay, all right, this is why I've been behind with my work.
How do you keep yourself on track and stop yourself from feeling like a victim, given all that you have endured, all that you have survived? I mean, I remember in your interview with El Tido, even talking about how every single person that inspired you to be the artist that you are right now is gone.
Yeah.
So your heroes are gone, your inspirations are gone, you're losing friends. How do you keep yourself from feeling that, geez, everyone is going, maybe I'm next?
Hey, I think about that every day, Vito.
Oh, for real?
I think about that every day. It haunts me, but I just keep going, man. And I thank God for the strength and, you know, the way I was raised. You know, I was raised in a home that, you know, didn't have much, but I was filled with a lot of love.
Sure.
Faith, prayer,
sure,
and positivity. No matter what was happening, we always pushed each other and stirred each other the right way, and never allowed, you know, my guy, you know, my label, my best friend, to, you know, fall victim.
And then,
to anything, Bill, you know, always be there for my brother.
Yeah.
You know. And now, you know, things are super different now.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't even know what people are saying behind closed door. You know, because with such, especially when the death is concerned, there's usually talks, you know, as to what really happened. And a lot of people still don't believe that. Till this day, I don't really know what happened, you know.
What do you think happened?
I just feel like because he was because I was not there. Whoever he was around did not come through for him like that. Like me, I know Leo. Sure. I could have reacted, you know, different, quicker or better than whoever was in the mix at that time. You know, when, you know, whatever happened to him happened. You know, so I can't really explain because I was not there on the, on the night, but from what I hear, you know, I just feel, I feel like he was just around the wrong people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about lessons. Lessons from the relationship you had with Ambitious as a label. What are the lessons you picked up from there?
A whole lot. I mean, like, in the beginning, when I signed with them, I always, like, I used to always put them on this pedestal, like, I trust that, you know, they have, you know, best interest at heart, you know. And only to find out, wrong. You know, and that took so long to register because I'd see the signs. I would see.
And like in any relationship, we think a red flag is a checkered flag.
Yeah. So it was kind of one of those situations, you know, where I wish I was more aware, more empowered, and because, you know, when you're chasing this dream, you don't really, sometimes you don't really have the time to learn the fundamentals. And so we were just going by faith, really. Faith and the actual product.
Yes, sir.
Which is the craft, the music, the production, you know, your name.
Lessons from divorce.
To think before you speak. Yeah. Think twice, thrice, four times even. Just think before you utter words. Think of what the next person, how the next person is going to feel. And so I've grown to become more considerate.
Yes, sir.
Not that I was ignorant in the past, but I'm human.
Lessons from your legendary Instagram live sessions.
Okay. Lesson number one.
Including don't point camera at penis when taking a pee.
So lesson number one, keep your camera, you know, at a still position.
Yes, sir.
You know, you got them, them stands now, they come with them big lights and stuff.
Yeah, the ring light. Yes, sir.
So, yeah, put it there.
Leave it there.
Yeah, it belongs there. Because now...
Yes, sir.
That's how my incident happened. And, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Even during that live session,
yeah,
the specific one, somebody even asked me, yo, you in the toilet? In the comments. I'm like, yeah, why not? Then somebody's like, hey, don't do it. You know, talking about exactly what I was about to do.
That was called a suck my dick moment.
You know. So, yeah, keep your phone in one position still. You know, be professional. Speak like a professional. And, and live your truth. Even if it's through a simple life.
But a lot of your lives have also come back to bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
Which one would you say hurt the most in terms of the consequences of that life?
I think it would have to be that specific one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what, you know, was in store for me prior, you know, to that incident.
Sure.
And prior to me seeing what people had to say.
Sure.
But as I said, man, it's just so, there's only so much you can do to a praying man, you know, to a faithful man.
Sure.
Yeah.
And also what I believe and also what I've learned is once everything has been thrown at you, there's nothing more that can be thrown at
you. Yeah, you're right. Correct. Because now, what can people say about me now?
Exactly.
Don't tell me about me 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
Tell me about me now.
Sure.
Ask my kids about me. Ask my wife about me. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Lessons from the Instagram live that you had with your wife.
Ooh, yeah, back again too. Being professional.
Sure.
Yeah, being professional.
What would you do differently, looking back at that live and the fallout that followed?
Looking back now, it was, for me, at the time, what was on my mind was trying to get myself out of a situation I thought I was in, whereas I was wrong.
Sure.
You know, and yeah. And it also takes me back to being considerate of the next person's feelings.
Mm.
You know, because in my mind, I might say I'm being revolutionary.
Sure, sure.
They will
know me today.
Yeah, you know. Like one of the most recent lives that I did. Think a month or two back.
Sure.
Not far here, Park Town, Mike's Kitchen. Yeah. I don't wanna go too deep into that, but people knew what happened there. And I think that was okay for me to do at that point.
Yes.
At that specific time. Because I did not point the camera at anyone but me.
Sure.
Number one. And I was speaking in present tense.
Sure.
Okay, guys, this is what's happening now.
I'm in the middle of this very thing happening.
Yes. Right
now. Yes.
I'm not going to show the culprit. I don't do that.
What has subsequently happened since that Mike's Kitchen event?
A lot. I get asked a lot about, you know, that incident and what was going through my mind.
Sure.
And what I was trying to achieve. Well, you know, if you listen to my music, you'll hear that, you know, I'm someone was filled with passion, faith, and love.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I might not know how to display my love. And that's not nothing bad.
But your intentions are love.
Yes, 100%.
Sure.
I mean, if you listen to my music, yes, the songs are different, but the message is one.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Have faith.
Yeah.
Never stop believing in yourself. And love others.
Lessons from your arrest and how it made you feel.
Which one? Because there's a couple.
Let's talk about all of them.
I'll talk about the most recent arrest, which was, you know, which happened after the live.
So you were arrested and Charged with what exactly?
What did he say? Oh. GBV.
Okay. So basically you beat up your wife is what the arrest was.
That's what the assumption was.
Okay. Did you beat her up?
Nah. Look, I'm a sweet girl. Yeah, look, I'm a cool girl. And yeah, man, apologies to everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ever come across like that, you know.
Mm.
Now I know, you know, look at other issues, look at...
So what was the lesson from that entire debacle that you were caught up in?
There were many lessons.
Mm.
Like, firstly, the communication barrier between me and the law enforcement that I was in contact with.
Yes, sir.
I kept that going, you know, just to show that, hey, I want to come to the party.
Mm-hmm.
I realize my fault.
Sure.
And I want to clarify a few things, like the fact that, man, I didn't physically attack my wife like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand why a lot of people may assume, you know, because one, yes, she did have, you know, bruises.
Mm.
And I think that came from, excuse me, that just came from the argument we were having, you know, the back and forth, which I didn't even realize was escalating, you know, and so the lessons overall, man, is just to treat people better, you know?
And maybe also to learn when to de-escalate shit.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I'm very slow to a temper.
Okay.
But when my temper is here, I'm a problem.
Okay.
So I'm having to learn to walk away.
Okay.
Yeah, and not just in relationships, just in any situation. Once my temper is here, I don't even feel safe from myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm learning that as soon as I can feel that it's getting there, walk away and just go.
Yep. And those are one of the biggest lessons I had to learn.
Yeah.
But this time, I don't walk away in a literal sense.
Yeah.
I come to a decision.
Sure.
At that particular point in time, okay? This is decision-making time. Where are we?
Sure.
Pushing the narrative of what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with every message or live or incident that happened to me that I was going through, because I'm an open book. I always tell people this. Sometimes people are scared to ask me certain questions. Mm. Be like, hey, shoot.
Absolutely. And finally, and before we close and wrap up, lessons from raising little people.
Because
I often find raising little people changes a lot about us, and often for the better.
Yes, you're right, Vito, 100%. Because now I've got three kids.
Sure.
I just had a daughter.
Yeah, Nairobi is in town.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful name.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. That is Kenya, the capital of Kenya.
Yeah.
And I named her Nairobi because the first time that I went out of the southern hemisphere of Africa and went into the middle.
Went to the east.
Yeah. And when you look at the map, the city Nairobi is like in the heart of the continent.
Sure.
And so, yeah, she holds a special place in my heart. And yeah, I always now moving forward, I always think to myself, imagine if your daughter spoke and she could articulate herself, express herself, what would she say?
Yes, sir.
You know, and so I never put myself in a situation where I can't account for or take responsibility for, you know. I feel like in most situations where I was like, okay, guys, yeah, I was wrong. I apologize. People should also take those into account. And okay, he can get crazy.
Sure.
But he's able to come back down to earth. And I'm able to do that now way better than before.
And it's a journey and a half to get there.
Yes,
there's
right.
There's nothing easy about getting to that point where you find yourself and you ground yourself and you start holding yourself accountable.
Yes.
Because to say I was wrong is not easy.
Nope.
But regardless of how blatant it is that you are wrong, to just admit it, it's a lot of work for little guys. Yep. Especially when it's all you know. All you know is how to be defensive. All you know is how to justify shit that you do versus, okay, maybe let me listen to what I've done, account for what I've done, and take responsibility for what I've done. And I think a lot of human beings, but majority guys, need to walk that journey.
Yes, you're right.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't know of other people, but I speak for myself.
Sure.
Moving forward, now I realize, I've got 3 kids.
Sure.
I think about them every day, all day, 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
You know, how would they feel?
Sure.
If I do anything, if I were to stand up now, walk away, and not say bye to the people and just be weird. You know, what lesson am I teaching them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My dude, we are out of time, but before we wrap things up, what are you working on right now that we can support?
Right now, I've got merch. I've got a merch collaboration with Amakipkip. Shout out to Amakipkip.
Where do we buy that merch?
You can get it at the store, which one of the stores is in the city.
Okay.
Gandhi Square.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the middle of Gandhi Square and Carlton Center.
Okay.
So, yeah, Hill of Street.
Can we order online by any chance?
Yeah, you can.
I think you got a ton of fans outside of the city.
For sure.
Yeah.
You can. Simply just DM at Amakipkip on Instagram or any platform.
Yes, sir.
And then, just inquire how you can get hold of, an MT piece.
Brand new single, Good Time, is also out.
Yes.
We're anticipating a brand new album that we hope will be dropping soon, DIY 3.
Yes, sir.
Your latest project is A Child that also dropped. So not only is he producing, he's reproducing. Man is busy.
Yeah.
My dude, listen, man, I have nothing but respect for your art, for your craft, for the journey that you walked. Many chose to either write you off or think that this one, there's no hope. And I think you're the perfect example of, I might fall 20 times, but I'm going to get up 50 times.
Yeah.
I could get away, I could get up 21 times, but, fuck this shit, I'm going to get up 50 times.
Yeah.
Just to show you that I can get up and stay up.
Yes.
So, shout out to you, my dude.
Thank you, Big Dog. I appreciate it. And, man, shout out to everyone who's been patient with me.
Yes, sir.
you know, on a personal level, on a work level, on a spiritual, you name it.
Yes, sir.
You know, shout out to everyone who's been patient with me in my journey.
My dude, we'll see you on your next legendary live.
For sure.
We now know what not to do.
Until
next time, nothing but love for you, my dog.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. Shout out to everybody who's watching.
Yeah.
I appreciate y'all. DIY3 is on the way.
MT, brand new single, Good Time, is out. Please support it, stream it, download it, tell everyone to go support it. It's the end of the month, which for many people means payday, or for some, when you get your spending money. It's also been a time when most of the country is experiencing unusually warm temperatures and unusual amounts of electricity. Thrown into the mix were astounding wins in both the political and sporting worlds. So for the coming week, we wish you a steady hand when paying for things, a cool head, literally, and also the confidence of a member of the MK Party or Richards Bay Football Club. Overall, hope you all have a wow week ahead. Coming to you from AMP Studios, we're part of the Africa Podcast Network. The cinematography, we look good, thanks to Pezulu Works. Hit them up. They even do weddings. Your wedding will look better than a movie if you get in touch with Pezulu Works. Artista Flo Fraser for all of our imaging. Our guests, John Savage and MT. Shout out to our creative producer, Krivesh Mohan, and our show producer, Kelezo Mudisa Geng. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have a great Wow Week, in spite of yourselves.